Welcome to episode 1407 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living.
Do not steal.
When we hear the eighth commandment, we often think in individual terms. A person takes something that does not belong to them, a wallet, a package, a car, a sum of money. The act is clear, the violation is obvious, and the moral line seems straightforward. But the commandment is not only about stopping isolated acts of theft. It is about shaping a world, a particular kind of world, where trust becomes possible. In our previous episode, we saw that stealing is not merely about taking things. It is about breaking trust. It fractures the invisible bonds that hold communities together. But if that is what theft destroys, then we must ask a deeper question. What does obedience to this commandment build? What kind of community emerges when people truly live as if "you shall not steal" is more than a rule, when it becomes a shared way of life? The answer is simple, but profound. It creates a community where people can live without fear. This may sound obvious, but it is actually rare. Stories are often told about small towns in earlier generations, which, whether fully accurate in every detail or not, reflects something real. People would leave their doors unlocked. Children would run freely through neighborhoods. Tools would be borrowed and returned without careful tracking. There was a kind of ease, a kind of openness, that depended on one thing: trust. Now, compare that to many environments today. Doors are locked, cameras are installed, packages are tracked, systems are monitored. These are not signs of moral failure alone, they are signs of defensive living. They are adaptations to a world where trust cannot be assumed. And that is exactly what the Eighth Commandment is addressing. It is not simply saying, "Do not take what is not yours." It is saying, "Live in such a way that others do not have to protect themselves from you." That is a very different vision. It moves the commandment from behavior to environment, from isolated acts to shared culture. And when we begin to see it this way, something remarkable emerges. God is not merely preventing harm. He is constructing a society. We see this clearly in the laws that surround the commandment. Consider Leviticus 19, verses 9 to 11. God instructs his people that when they harvest their fields, they are not to gather everything. They are to leave the edges. They are to leave what falls. Why? So that the poor and the stranger can gather. This is not charity as an afterthought. This is generosity built into the structure of society. Imagine what this means. A farmer has the ability, the legal, practical ability, to take everything. But God says, "Do not. Leave some. Restrain yourself. Create space for others to live." This is the opposite of theft. The opposite of stealing is not merely refraining from taking. It is refusing to maximize at the expense of others. And that is a powerful idea. Because in many systems, ancient and modern, the goal is to extract as much as possible. To gain advantage. To secure more. To optimize outcomes. But God's law introduces a different principle. Restraint for the sake of community. This is not inefficiency. It is intentional design. In fact, historians have noted that ancient Israel's legal system was unique in the ancient Near East. Other legal codes, like the Code of Hammurabi, emphasized punishment and hierarchy. But the laws of Israel consistently wove in concern for the vulnerable, the poor, the widow, the orphan, the foreigner, or immigrant. Economic life was not meant to crush the weak. It was meant to sustain the whole. And this connects directly to the Eighth Commandment. Because theft is not only about what is taken illegally, it is also about what is taken unjustly. If a system allows one group to accumulate endlessly while another cannot survive, something is being taken. Even if no law is technically broken. God's vision is different. He imagines a community where people do not take advantage of one another. Not because they cannot, but because they choose not to. This is where trust begins. Trust is not built primarily through enforcement. It is built through shared restraint. When people know that others will not exploit every opportunity for personal gain, something shifts. They begin to relax. They begin to open. They begin to collaborate. Economists sometimes refer to this as social capital. It is the invisible currency of trust that allows societies to function efficiently. High-trust societies tend to experience lower transaction costs. Fewer contracts are needed. Fewer safeguards are required. people can move faster because they are not constantly defending themselves. There is a fascinating example from post-war Japan. After World War II, Japan rebuilt not only its infrastructure, but its economic culture. One of the factors often cited in its rapid recovery was a high level of social trust. People expected honesty in transactions, reliability in relationships, and accountability in work. That trust reduced friction. It accelerated growth. Now contrast that with environments where corruption is high. In such places, every transaction requires verification. Every agreement requires enforcement. Every relationship carries suspicion. The cost of doing anything increases, not just financially, but emotionally. This is what the Eighth Commandment is protecting us from. It is not merely preventing loss. It is reducing friction in human life. It is making flourishing possible. Because flourishing requires cooperation. And cooperation requires trust. But trust cannot exist where people are constantly looking for ways to take. This is why the biblical vision goes beyond prohibition. It moves into formation. It forms people who think differently about what they have. Instead of asking, "What can I get?" they begin to ask, "What has been entrusted to me?" Instead of asking, "How much can I keep?" they begin to ask, "How can this serve others?" And this shift changes everything. Because once people begin to see themselves not as owners, but as stewards, the instinct to take begins to weaken. Stewardship creates responsibility. And responsibility creates restraint. The recognition that everything ultimately belongs to God reshapes how we relate to what we possess. But what kind of community emerges when people actually live that way? The answer is a community marked by trust, generosity, and stability. A community where people do not need to guard everything because they know others will not take advantage. A community where resources circulate rather than accumulate destructively. A community where the vulnerable are not excluded, but included. And this brings us to a subtle but important point. The Eighth Commandment is not only about justice, it is about peace. Because when trust exists, people experience a kind of rest. They are not constantly calculating risk. They are not constantly defending themselves. They are free to live. Peace is not merely the absence of conflict. It is the presence of trust. And trust is sustained when people respect what belongs to others. Of course, this kind of community does not happen automatically. It requires intentional formation. It requires teaching, modeling, reinforcement. It requires people who are willing to limit themselves for the sake of others. And this is where the commandment becomes deeply personal. Because it asks each of us, what kind of person are you becoming? Are you someone others can trust? Not just legally, but relationally. Do people feel safe around you? Do they know that you will not take advantage, even when you could? That is the heart of the commandment. It is not simply about what you do when you are watched. It is about who you are when you are free to choose. And when enough people make that choice, when enough people choose integrity over advantage, restraint over entitlement, stewardship over grasping, something beautiful happens. A community forms, not perfect, not without tension, but fundamentally stable. A place where people can build, because they trust that what they build will not be taken. A place where people can give, because they trust that generosity will not be exploited. A place where people can live openly, because they trust that others will not harm them. This is the kind of world the Eighth Commandment is pointing toward. And it is a world worth building. But what happens when trust is broken? What happens when someone does take? What happens when the system fractures? That is where the story moves next. Because God does not only tell us what kind of community to build. He also shows us how to repair it when it breaks. And that is where we will go in the next episode. For now, we are left with a vision. A vision of a community where trust is not rare, but normal. Where people do not merely avoid stealing, but actively contribute to the stability of those around them. And that vision begins with a simple but powerful commitment. To live in such a way that others do not have to protect themselves from you. Father, help us become people who build trust rather than break it. Teach us to live with restraint, to act with integrity, and to consider the well-being of others in how we use what has been entrusted to us. Help us create communities where people feel safe, where generosity flows, and where trust becomes the foundation for flourishing. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.